ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणम् फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल्ड द हंसगुह्य प्रेयर्स टेक्स्ट 33। योनुग्रहार्थं भजतां पादमूलम् अनामरूपो भगवान् अनन्तः नामानि रूपाणि च कर्म जन्म कर्मभिर् भेजे समह्यं परमः प्रसीदतु। योनुग्रहार्थं भजतां पादमूलम् अनामरूपो भगवान् अनन्तः नामानि रूपाणि च जन्म कर्मभिर् भेजे समह्यं परमः प्रसीदतु। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड हु इज इनकंसीवेबली ऑपुलेंट is devoid of all material names, forms, and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship his lotus feet. Thus he exhibits transcendental forms and names with his different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. Purport: in regard to the significant word anamarupah, Sri Sridhar Swami says, prakrita namarupo rahitopi. The word anama, which means having no name, indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name. Simply by chanting the name of Narayan to call his son, Ajamil attained salvation. This means that Narayan is not an ordinary mundane name. It is non-material. The word anama therefore indicates that the names of the Supreme Lord do not belong to this material world. The vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not a material sound. And similarly, the form of the Lord and his appearance and activities are non-material. To show his causeless mercy to the devotees, as well as the non-devotees, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in this material world with names, forms, and pastimes, all of which are transcendental. Unintelligent men who cannot understand this think that these names, forms, and pastimes are material, and therefore they deny that he has a name or a form. Considered with scrutiny, the conclusion of the non-devotees who say that God has no name and that of the devotees who know that his name is not material are practically the same. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no material name, form, birth, appearance or disappearance. But nevertheless, he takes his birth, janma, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.6. अजोपि सन् अव्ययात्मा भूतानामीश्वरोपि सन् प्रकृतिं स्वामधिष्ठाय संभवाम्यात्ममायया। Although the Lord is unborn aja and his body never undergoes material changes, he nevertheless appears as an incarnation, maintaining himself always in the transcendental stage, Vishuddha Sattva. Thus he exhibits his transcendental forms, names and activities. That is his special mercy towards his devotees. Others may continue merely arguing about whether the absolute truth has a form or not. But when a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, sees personally the Lord, he becomes spiritually ecstatic. Unintelligent persons say that the Lord does nothing. Actually, he has nothing to do. But nevertheless, he has everything to do. Because without his section, no one can do anything. The unintelligent, however, cannot see how he is working and how the entire material nature is working under his direction. His different potencies work perfectly. He has nothing to do personally, for since his potencies are perfect, everything is immediately done by his will. Persons to whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not revealed cannot see how he is working, and therefore they think that even if there is a God, he has nothing to do or has no particular form. Actually, the Lord's name already exists because of his transcendental activities. The Lord is sometimes called Gunakarma Nama because he is named according to his transcendental activities. For example, Krishna means all attractive. This is the Lord's name because his transcendental qualities make him all attractive. Very attractive. As a small boy, he lifted Govardhan Hill, and in his childhood, he killed many demons. Such activities are very attractive, and therefore, he is sometimes called Giridhari, Madhusudan, Aganishudan, and so on. Because he acted as the son of Nanda Maharaj, he is called Ananda Tanuja. These names already exist, but since non-devotees cannot understand the names of the Lord, he is sometimes called Anama, or nameless. This means that he has no material names. All his activities are spiritual, and therefore he has spiritual names. Generally, less intelligent men under the impression that the Lord has no form. Therefore, he appears in his original form as Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, to carry out his mission of participating in the battle of Kurukshetra and pastimes to protect the devotees and vanquish the demons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. This is his mercy. For those who think that he has no form and no work to do, Krishna comes to show that indeed he works. He works so gloriously that no one else can perform such uncommon acts. Although he appeared as a human being, he married 16,108 wives, which is impossible for a human being to do so. The Lord performs such activities to show people how great he is, how affectionate he is, and how merciful he is. Although his original name is Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, he acts in unlimited ways. Excuse me. And therefore, according to his work, he has many, many thousands of names. Om Agnyantimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Hare Krishna. In this verse, we find Daksha glorifying the Lord as Anama, one who has no material name, form, qualities, and then begging for the Lord's mercy. He says, may that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada takes an amazing, very interesting preaching technique. Sometimes we hear that a devotee is a butcher. Not literally, like the butchers who cut the throats of the animals and give them distress. But great devotees are butchers of the material desires of the living entities by the powerful instructions that they give to the living entities. When these material desires in the cores of the hearts are destroyed, which are like broken pieces of glass according to Dhruva Maharaj, these material enjoyments, they have two qualities. One is that they are useless, and the second is more dreadful. Not only are they useless, But they keep giving pain. If there is a broken piece of glass within one's body, what to speak of within one's heart, how painful it would be. So Dhruva Maharaj says these material desires are so painful. But great devotees, like butchers, slaughter these material desires from the heart and thus free the living entity of all that is miserable, anartha, within the heart. Now, how this slaughtering takes place of the material desires by the awakening of knowledge is different according to the preaching technique of the preacher. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada takes the technique of first deciding to agree and then adding the Krishna conscious element to the incompleteness of the philosophies that people have within this world. He immediately agrees, yes, the materialistic people say the Lord has no name. Even the devotees say that Lord has no name. No material name, he adds that. And then he says how the Lord has got so many transcendental names. Some people say God has nothing to do. He just shouldn't be doing anything. Of course, the scriptures say, Natasya karanam karanam cha vidyate. The Lord has nothing to do. Srila Prabhupada agrees. And then he says, but actually he has to do everything. Because nothing moves without his sanction. So he has to do everything. Then materialistic people, they say, because we can't see the Lord, how can we accept that he is doing anything? Or what to speak of everything? Prabhupada says, yes, we agree that you can't see the Lord. Because material nature is doing everything. It is only done under his supervision. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. His will is enough. He doesn't have to personally come. Like Srila Prabhupada says, you know, that Atlas is a famous legend or a myth who's carrying the earth, and this personality with bulging muscles and with sweat, perspiration all over his body is struggling so hard. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna is not like that Atlas who has to struggle so hard. Dhariyami, he says, I just hold the earth by his partial energies. And then, again, the materialistic people might argue that the Lord is nameless. Because if he has just one name, then that is finite. Prabhupada said, yes, that is also true. If he has just one name, that is finite. But actually, Krishna has got unlimited activities, and all his names are connected to his unlimited activities. So he has unlimited names. All may be one, but they are all unlimited. Like Krishna is one name, all attractive. But then he has unlimited such names based on his activities. So it's a very interesting preaching technique that Srila Prabhupada uses in this purport, where he agrees to what they say, as far as the scriptures understand, and then brings them to a higher platform of Krishna consciousness and gives a complete understanding of who is Krishna, what are his names, what are his activities, what is his personality, and how he comes into this world to show his mercy to the devotees and to the non-devotees also. In fact, that is the recommended preaching technique that Prabodhananda Saraswati recommends. He says, first go and agree to what a person's mentality or thinking is. What does a person in this world generally think of himself or herself? Prabhupada writes in the fourth canto, in the Puranjan episode, that every human being in this world thinks that he is more intelligent than what he actually is. One has a bloated conception of oneself, generally. Like Braj Bihari Prabhu was mentioning the other day, even when we are walking on the street, if you are looking at a car, you know, and then the car has a tinted glass, so suddenly, is my hair okay, is everything, you know. Because one is living in one's concept, so one just wants to check whether that conception is as good as I am thinking it is. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Dante nidaya trinakam padayor nipatya kritva cha kakushatame tadaham bravimi. Please go and approach the materialistic people, not with pride in one's heart, but dante nidhaya trinakam, with grass in one's mouth. It may mean literally, but it may also mean, well, who takes grass in the mouth? Animals. So one takes a very low position, trinakam, padayor nipate, and fall at the feet of that person. Kritva, do that. Emphatically he says, chakakushatame tadaham bravimi, and speak so many hundreds, shatam it is said, hundreds and hundreds of flattery to that person. Now flattery connects to the conception of that person, because it may not be reality. Just like his conceptions of himself, thinking himself to be more intelligent than what he is, may not be reality. But then, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, first connect to him. Agree to where his condition is. Because it's a natural human tendency that as soon as one feels understood, one opens up. This is a major problem in communication. The other day, Gaurang was explaining that, you know, sometimes there are hundreds of people living together, but it's like different ships on an ocean. They're all in different directions because they don't understand where one ship wants to go, another ship wants to go, cooperate. However, this understanding is such a wonderful thing that as soon as one is understood, one opens one's heart. One feels, okay, this person understands what my needs are, my interests are, my concerns are, what my desires are. So then one feels very comfortable. It's like giving fresh air to a person. Then a person starts breathing and acting. As long as understanding is not there, then it's like a person choking up. Even within the same environment, one cannot open up and be himself or herself. So Prabodhananda Saraswati says, express understanding to that person. Oh, you're a very great person. Hundreds of flattery. And then, when that person's heart is open, add the Krishna element. Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutanuragam. Please appreciate the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Chandra Charane, the beautiful moon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, that personality's lotus feet is so wonderful that simply offering service to those lotus feet, Kurutanuragam, your heart will be in ecstasy. Anuragam, you'll level up some great taste, pleasure. And thus, He sadhava sakalam eva vihaya durad. He sadhava, oh good soul, sakalam eva, all these things that I have spoken about you, eva durad, just kick it out. So that's the preaching technique that Srila Prabhupada is using in this purport. He's connecting to where materialistic people, whatever little bit understanding of God they have, and then adding the complete Krishna conscious understanding. Many devotees take this approach to inspire connection to the Supreme Lord. In fact, Srila Kavi Karanapur, in his Anand Vrindavan Champu, describes Lord's transcendental names, forms, qualities, especially his abode. And what are the activities and the qualities of the people in the abode of the Lord? It seems material. There are people moving around, talking, interacting. Is it just like this world? It may look like, but it is not. He explains that in the Lord's abode, there are syllables like khala used. The word khala means deceit. But it is used only in words like shrinkhala, which means a period, an episode, or a chain, or mekhala. Never alone, because there are no deceitful people over there. So it may seem there is something material, some khala, but it's only in connection with shrinkhala. Or when the word matsara is used, which means my lake, matsara, it's only used to indicate the lakes, it's my lake. It's never used to indicate people, because there are no envious people there. In fact, sometimes the word doshakara is used, having faults. But that is used only to describe the moon and nothing else. Or sometimes the syllable mala, dirt, that is only used in connection with words like shamala, blackish, or parimala, full of fragrance, but never used separately to connote mala or filth, because everything there is nirmala, pure and faultless. The word danda may be used there, which means a rod, but that is only used to connote the handle of a chamara or an umbrella, never used for punishment, danda, because there are no punishable people over there. In fact, the word bandha is also used sometimes, which means a knot or to be bound. But that is only used to describe the knots of clothing, not imprisonment. Because there are no people over there worth imprisoning. In fact, there are words like adhi, which means mental distress. But that is used only in words like samadhi or upadhi, not alone, because there are no mental distresses in the spiritual world. Sometimes the word chanchalata is used, which means greedy or unsteady. But that is used only in relation to the necklaces or the edge of the clothing, which moves back and forth in the anticipation of meeting Krishna. Not in reference to the unsteadiness of the mind, etc. Because that doesn't exist in the spiritual world. In the world, raga is used only to describe the reddish color of the lotus feet and the hands of personalities there. Not for material attachment, raga, dvesha, not like that. The word madhya, that is also used. That means middle or mediocre, but that is only used to describe the waste of beautiful personalities. Because over there, there is nobody mediocre. There is only uttama, topmost, no madhyama. The word palita, which means white, is used only to describe a pala or a measurement of time, not to describe the hair, because no one grows old over there. In fact, the word raja is used to describe flower pollen or dust that is raised from the hooves of the cows, not in words like rajaguna, because there is no mode of passion existing in that place. There are no passionate people there. The word kathin, hard, is never used for people. It's only used for metals or silver or diamonds, hard metals. Because everyone over there is very soft, gentle, mridu. Words like dvandva, which means pairs or arguments, is used only in reference to some couples of people and not to arguments, because there are no arguments in the spiritual world. Manda or gentle is used only for the wind, not with words like mandabhagya, unfortunate, because there are no unfortunate people in the spiritual world. Chanchalya, fickleness, refers only to the movement of the eyes, because everyone over there is very sthira, steady. Words like glani, exhaustion, shanka, worry, dainya, low, misery, and vishada, lamentation, these are words used to describe ecstatic states within bhava, not material experiences of exhaustion, worry, misery, some lamentation, because they don't exist over there. In fact, the word chidra, which means hole or faults, is used only in connection with flutes and not with human beings, because they are faultless in the spiritual world. And the word tikshnata, sharp, is used only to describe the glances when Krishna appears on the scene in front of his devotees and nothing else. Saumya, which means ordinary or similarities, they are used only to describe the similarity of object, because nothing in the spiritual world is ordinary over there. Although sometimes people exhibit temporary qualities like youth or old age, those qualities which may seem temporary are exhibited only to enhance their rasa with Krishna. Actually, they are all liberated souls. So the so-called youth and old age is beyond the transformations of time. It's not material, it's transcendental. So it's very interesting how devotees, they may agree that yes, probably in Vrindavan, it may look like the material world where there is khala, that's only shrinkala. Or there may be some time, pala. But palita, that word, is not for white hair, because actually people don't keep growing old or their hair falling off, etc. In fact, even when the sun comes, sometimes 12 suns come, Dwadash Aditya Til, to warm Krishna's body when he's coming out after fighting with Kaliya. In fact, Shamanathru one time mentioned that time is inconspicuous by its absence. That means it's present. It's not that it's not there. The seasons change, time changes. But he explained it's like the backdrop of the deity. It's there in the background somewhere. It just enhances the beauty of the pastimes. It's not in the forefront like time, which is a destroyer that pushes everything. We just hold on to things in this world, and gradually time is just snatching it away from the people of this world, destroying their attachments, destroying their personalities, their lives within this world. It's not like that. It's in the background. It just enhances the beauty of the pastimes in the spiritual world. So one may sometimes see, or it may appear that there are some material qualities there. And the devotees even sometimes agree. But then they explain that it's not actually material. It is fully transcendental. It's eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It's just there to enhance the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, in this purport, Prabhupada agrees. The Lord has no name, but no material name. The Lord has no form, no material form. He has nothing to do, but He has everything to do. But actually does nothing, because nothing directly, only under His supervision. Therefore, people cannot see Him, but they can see Him when the Lord appears out of His causeless mercy. So He has no form, yes. He has no form like the forms of this material world. He does uncommon activities when He comes to this material world. Like He picks up Govardhan Hill. He kills so many demons. And therefore He has so many names, Srila Prabhupada explains. Unlimited names. That mercy that the Lord gives to the devotees and the non-devotees is the only hope to understand the Lord. In fact, the whole path of spiritual understanding or approaching or achieving Krishna is simply a path tread on the basis of mercy. Or like Gaurang Prabhu said the other day, our flight of spirituality, our flight of Krishna consciousness flies on the fuel of mercy. The more we appreciate mercy, the more we get it, the more we fly higher. Therefore, Uddhav, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he is reminiscing, he is remembering the pastimes of the Lord, and he remembers the mercy that the Lord gave to the devotees, it brings out such affectionate experiences, such devotion and such attachment to the Supreme Lord. He says it is amazing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would stand in the court in front of Ugrasen Maharaj and would speak such sweet loving words that, "My Lord, Your Honor, I have some petition to make. May I speak?" Remembering those pastimes, my heart is just melting. How wonderful is the Lord's mercy. And in the next verse, he's remembering the mercy that the Lord gave to Putana. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam shayapayaya dapya sadavi lebe gatim datri muchitam tatonyam kam vadayalum sharanam rajema. Alas, he exclaims, aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. How can I take shelter of one more merciful than he who gave the position of a nurse, a dhatri, to someone who was unfaithful? Jigam shayapa. Actually, a sadhavi is unfaithful. That means a sadhu, Prabhupada translates, is a faithful person to the Lord. And a sadhavi, she was unfaithful. Not only that, she had smeared poison and was trying to destroy and kill Krishna. Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, here is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character. Just like in a stock of poison, one may take nectar. So Lord Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be a mother. Now this is the extent of the Lord's mercy. Even pretentious display of motherhood with an inimical heart of wanting to destroy and kill the Lord. But Krishna allowed, because she allowed Krishna to suck her breast. Prabhupada explains in the purport, the Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, Uddhav is crying, alas, how can I take shelter of someone more merciful? What is his character? He accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward possible. And then in the next verse, as Uddhav is remembering the intense affection of the Lord, his causeless mercy on even the demons who showed such extreme degree of very little, any real qualification of actually loving the Lord or approaching the Lord in any kind of devotional service, still they were given so much mercy. In that intense affection and gratitude for that mercy, feeling separation for the Lord himself, Uddhav cries out in humility. He says that actually the demons, they are better than the devotees, like me, like himself. Just by remembering the Lord and feeling the separation, he feels that I do not have that association of the Lord. I am separated. Even the demons got it. Therefore, the demons are better. Manye suran bhagvatam straya dishe samramba marga binivishta chittam ye samyuge chakshatatarksha putram amshe sunabhayudama patantam. He says, Manye suran, I think that the asuras, they are better than bhagvatams, traya dishe. They are better than the devotees of the Lord. Why? Samrambha marga binivishta chittan. Because in the samrambha marga, following the path of enmity, binivishta chittan, their attachment to the Lord out of envy was so intense. Oh, I don't have that attachment. So basically, he's feeling that separation from the Lord, and he's feeling that he is not so attached to the Lord. And even demons, out of envy, who have shown that attachment, he feels they are very great. In the purport, Prabhupada explains, actually the demon can never be equal to the devotee. Because Uddhav, out of his own humility, is thinking that at the last stage of my life, I may not be able to see Krishna. These demons, they were able to see Krishna at the last stage of his life when he killed them. But I may not be able to see the Lord. So in that intense feeling of separation and humility, Uddhav says, they are better. But actually they are not better. Because Prabhupada explains in the purport that when the demons are killed, then they only get impersonal liberation. But the devotees, they get thousands and thousands and thousands of times more benefit by being in the personal association of the Lord in the spiritual planets, in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world. So the devotees, they are rewarded much, much more than the demons. But still the demons, they get the benefit. That is the mercy of the Lord. That is the glory of the touch of Krishna. Krishna's mercy. One time, in one of our counselor meetings, we were discussing, you know, that if we need to control the mind, then what are the different techniques that we can use to control our mind? Because the mind just plays havoc. Govind Prabhu the other day was explaining that this mind is like a hot coal which you've put in a pot full of water, then the whole water in that pot becomes hot and the pot also becomes hot. So if the mind inside is so much agitated and frustrated and giving all kinds of problems because of the material desires, then the whole personality of the living entity becomes miserable. Even his body, even when the person is sleeping, resting, he cannot be peaceful because the mind inside is troubling. So how can we control this mind? What can we do to control this mind? And then so many devotees were explaining, we can do this technique, we can do that technique, you can even chant Hare Krishna. And there are so many techniques of chanting Hare Krishna that we discuss. Chant clearly, focus on the mantra, or keep the mantra, keep the form of the Lord in front of us. Sit and chant. Sit erect and chant. Stand and chant. There's so many techniques that we discuss. But then Shamanantrabhu explained in that meeting that the mind will actually come in control, or the mind will actually be purified only by the touch of Krishna. When Krishna touches that mind, then by the mercy of Krishna, when Krishna controls it, that mind will actually become amala, nirmala, purified, and come in control. So all these techniques that we use to try to control the mind or try to focus on the mantra is ultimately to achieve the mercy of the Lord. The touch of Krishna. Raga dvesha vimuktestu vishyan indriyesh charan. Raga dvesha, all the techniques, the rules and regulations we follow. Vishyan indriyesh charan. Atma vashe vidyatma. To control our senses. Is ultimately prasadamadi gachati. To get the mercy, the prasad of the Lord. And then, prasade sarva dukhanam hani ras yopajayate. Prasanna chetaso hyashu. Buddhi parivartate. Prasanna chetaso hyashu. One becomes quickly very satisfied. Prasanna chetasa. When one achieves the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find that Narad Muni one time got the darshan of the Lord by all the mechanical techniques that he was trying to do his yoga, his meditation, and then suddenly the Lord appeared. And he became ecstatic to see the form of the Lord. But then, actually, did he see the form? He only heard. Then the Lord appeared and he heard, the Lord said that you will never ever again see me in this lifetime. For two reasons. One is because you are not yet free from material taints. And second, you are incomplete in service. So you will never again see me in this lifetime. Only you will hanker for me more and more because you have seen my transcendental form. That attraction of that form, to get that mercy, you will hanker and that hankering will completely purify you. So by Krishna's touch, Narad Muni became purified. But still, he was incomplete in service. And therefore, the Lord said, in this lifetime you will never see me again. Now Narad Muni, like a hungry man who had just received tasty feast, again tried with his mechanical means, but he could not see the form of the Lord. Because he had to yet develop that intense eagerness, that complete attachment, and then the Lord's mercy would come. So one may ask a question, that when we get initiated, when we get the holy name of the Lord, when we chant Hare Krishna, especially at the time of initiation, the holy name is given by the spiritual master, then why doesn't our karma fully finish? The fact is that the spiritual master takes one's karma when one gets initiated, and then one is given an opportunity to practice Krishna consciousness, all the rules and regulations. So if one's karma is finished, then why does suffering still come in the life of a devotee? Why? From the day of initiation, all one karma is finished. But the fact is, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj was explaining the other day, I was hearing a tape. He said, actually all your previous lifetime's karma, that is finished. But the present karma that is there, that is still allowed to remain with you. And the simple example Prabhupada gives is that the switch is closed. The fan is stopped. No more karma. Because you sin no more. But then because of momentum, whatever is remaining is still allowed. Otherwise, he explains, if your immediate karma is also finished, then suddenly you'll become a ghost. Because this body is just an exhibition of our karma. So if all karma is just immediately finished, then this body will be finished, and one will just be hanging as a ghost. But then one may say, well, if karma is finished, and if the body is finished, then the soul will go to the, will become liberated. Then that's the only thing that we will get. Either we'll become a ghost, or we'll only get liberation. But the Lord is very merciful. He allows personally that karma to remain with the devotee so that the devotee can develop love for him. Because if all karma is just finished, then one is liberated from all karma. But where is the scope for developing love for the Lord? So the Lord allows the devotee to go through that immediate course of action by his own causeless mercy, so that the devotee can develop love for him. So it doesn't matter whether we have come from so much bad karma, born in low-grade families with all kinds of conditioning. Or it doesn't matter whether one is born in Brahminical families, very high noble parentage. Krishna is not seeing what you have. Krishna is seeing the good body. He's not seeing the good body or the bad body, the skills that we have or the skills that we not have. He's seeing how we react in the situation. What is our attitude? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in the introduction to the Nectar of Instruction that Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. The advancement in Krishna consciousness depends upon the attitude of the follower. So whatever one's situation within this world, whether suffering comes or pain, pleasures come, the attitude of the devotee, that is what attracts Krishna. Therefore, we find that both people have approached Krishna for mercy. Daksha Prajapati in this verse is begging Krishna, you please give me mercy. And we find that in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj, he also approached Krishna, give me mercy. And both had material desires. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, great-grandfather Brahma, greater than this entire universe. And Prajapati wants to fulfill his desires of, it's a service, but he has, it's a material desire that he wants to procreate and create progeny within this world. So he is begging the Lord for mercy. Both have material desires. The Lord, his idea of giving mercy is, the Lord gives the association of his devotee. And Lord gave the association of Narad Muni to both of them. Dhruva Maharaj also got Narad Muni's association. And very soon, Daksha Prajapati also gets Narad Muni's association. But what is their attitude towards Narad Muni determines their further advancement in Krishna consciousness. By the mercy of the Lord, they have got the association of devotee. But in the association of devotee, what is his attitude? How does he appreciate that association? That determines further advancement. Narad Muni, Daksha Prajapati offends Narad Muni, curses Narad Muni, and therefore doesn't get the full blessings of the devotee at that point. He, of course, curses Lord Shiva also. And Dhruva Maharaj, he also tells Narad Muni, I cannot follow your instructions immediately. But then ultimately, he accepts the mercy of Narad Muni and then becomes a surrendered disciple, takes to the holy name and purifies and perfects his life. So there are different levels of mercy. In this verse, when Daksha Prajapati is asking for mercy, it's not the absolute mercy of the Lord that he wants to give. The Lord tests. He gives the association of the devotees. Then he sees the attitude of the practitioner, of how he deals with that mercy that comes in the association of devotees. And then one gets more and more mercy. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's quite late now, so with that we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.